Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We continue our sermon series on the book of Genesis and continue the story of Joseph. The reading is taken from Genesis 37, verses 12 to 33. The talk is given by the Reverend David Ager, our guest speaker, and is entitled Joseph, Betrayed by Brothers. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
The reading is taken from Genesis 39, verses 1 to 9. After Joseph had been taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelites, Potiphar, an Egyptian, one of Pharaoh's officials and the manager of his household, brought him from them. As it turned out, God was with Joseph and things went very well with him. He ended up living in the home of his Egyptian master. His master recognized that God was with him, saw that God was working for good in everything he did. He became very fond of Joseph and made him his personal aide. He put him in charge of all his personal affairs, turning everything over to him. From that moment on, God blessed the home of the Egyptian, all because of Joseph. The blessing of God spread over everything he owned, at home and in the fields, and all that Potiphar had to concern himself with was eating three meals a day. Joseph was a strikingly handsome man. As time went on, his master's wife became infatuated with Joseph and one day said, "Sleep with me." He wouldn't do it. He said to his master's wife, "Look, with me here, my master doesn't give a second thought to anything that goes on. He's put me in charge of everything he owns, and he treats me as an equal. The only thing he hasn't turned over to me is you. You are his wife. How could I violate his trust and sin against God?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Right, we're talking about ups and downs. I thought we'd think about roller coasters. Do you like going on roller coasters? When were you last on a roller coaster? I've only once been on a roller coaster, and that was once. That was enough for me, to be honest. But you know, do you like these anticipation? You're going up steadily, everything's fine. You're perhaps going to appreciate the view, but then you perhaps have this trepidation, this fear, or maybe it's a thrill. Maybe you actually enjoy it. You know, some people really do enjoy these things. If you think about how many there are in this country, let alone the world, great big roller coasters. And maybe you end up upside down. And again, that might give great thrill to some people, but perhaps not to everyone. And maybe it's, well, you just look forward to getting to the bottom and you can sort of sigh of relief, all is well now. Or maybe you're thinking, let's go again. Now, I don't know, I'm just thinking about roller coasters. So we're thinking about ups and downs. And say so today's themes, we're obviously thinking about Joseph. And we've known the story, we've had the story over several weeks. We know that Joseph, Jacob gave him this coat of many colors, of big sleeves, of whatever we want to call it, the coat, this fancy robe, because he was his special son, that he was his favorite son. And so that was a good up, you know, if you're favored by someone, if someone thinks you're worthy of giving you a nice present, great to feel that way. But of course we know that Joseph's brothers felt very jealous of Joseph, and they threw him down this pit, into this well, whatever, and eventually sold him into slavery. So again, as Rachel said to the children this morning, that wouldn't feel very good, would it? You know, you felt highly sort of privileged that your father really values you, and then you're thrown into this pit, thrown into slavery, sent away from your family, don't really know what's going to happen next. So it's a bit like that roller coaster, that sort of feeling of, ooh, what's going to happen next? Like, ooh, I can't cope with this. And getting into that real sort of feeling of despair. And then again this morning we had in the reading that in Potiphar's house, Joseph is recognized. And it says that Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph. So Potiphar saw something in Joseph, that he was trustworthy, honorable, that the Lord was with him and respected him. And Joseph, obviously, again, as Rachel said to the children, obviously he was doing all the right things. He was good, he was honorable, he was trustworthy, and given position of authority. Again, a high, great position. I don't want to go too far into the story because we've got more of the story to come, but there are more downs to come. And we've just started hearing in the text that was that Jane read to us about how Potiphar's wife, fancied Joseph, and Joseph resisted that and wouldn't have anything to do with his Potiphar's wife because he honoured Potiphar. He didn't want to do anything against him. But also it says that he wouldn't do such a wicked thing because it was a sin against God. So just think of those two things, that Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph. Do people see that the Lord is with us? In our actions, in the things that we do, do people recognize that the Lord is with us? That sounds like quite a grand term, perhaps. You wouldn't go into a street and say, oh, do you think the Lord is with me? You know, but do people recognize us for our faith, for our moral standing, for our following of a Christian way of life? And equally, when we're facing temptations, when we're facing things that are perhaps we're unsure about, you know, can we say that we won't do the wicked things because it's a sin against God? And wicked always makes it sound like something really, really great, a wicked thing. But sometimes there's a little things in life where we just have to think, is this honourable to God? Can I be trustworthy? Can I be seen to be doing what God requires? And there's a bit of a hint there. Sorry, the graphic's not quite right with that white square in it. But nonetheless, there's a bit of a hint there that Joseph ends up in prison. More of that probably next week, and we're not going to go too far. And also you'll get a sort of sense of the graph there, that there are more ups to come. But nonetheless, you're getting the idea of ups and downs. And we have to think about how perhaps this relates to us. Because we often talk about life. Our life, sometimes people say, is like a roller coaster. We have ups and downs in our lives, don't we? We have times when we are anxious, we have trepidation about what's to come, we're worried, the worst maybe comes and we're in that depth of despair and concern. We sometimes feel our world is turned upside down, and again, that's why I've sort of chosen that picture. We feel that everything's, you know, just not what it wants to be, what we think it should be. And hopefully we also have sometimes when all is well, but sometimes when all is well, we can equally feel anxious that we don't quite believe it's going to stay that way. We worry about things in the world. Maybe not in our own lives, but things in the wider society or in climate change or whatever else. We can be content in our own sense, but perhaps all is not quite as well as it should be in the world. So just look at some of these phrases. We've had the phrase that the Lord was with Joseph. Potiphar recognized that, but it also says the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. The Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian of Potiphar because of Joseph. So because of Joseph, because of his goodness, the Lord said that his household is blessed, that Potiphar's house is blessed, and that Joseph will prosper. And later on in the same chapter, when you get to the end of that chapter, towards it says the Lord was with Joseph, gave him success in whatever he did. Oh, what a wonderfully blessed life he has. If only the same could be said for us. But even so, we know that Joseph had these ups and downs. And there were considerable downs, if you think about them, being sold into slavery. We don't know quite how many years that was. When he goes into prison, he's in prison for quite some time. So he hasn't got an easy life, but he has this understanding that God is with him, the Lord is with him. Just want to focus on two words there, the prospered and success. There are some who, well, you may have heard of, this idea of a prosperity gospel. There have been people who have, and particularly in the US, USA, in the 50s and 60s, possibly even into the 70s, where there was certain evangelists, if I can say, with quoted figures, in quotes, evangelists who would say, look, you, if you really believe in God, you will be prosperous. You will have money, you'll have wealth. If you give your money to charity, you'll get more back in return. You know, all these sort of ideas, prosperity gospel. And I'm only you saying this because if you look at the life of Joseph, it tends to sort of imply that because God was with him, everything was fine. We can't expect that to have wealth, health, fame, and fortune. They're not assured through faith in God. They're not assured because God is with us. The thing we need to remember is that God is with us through the difficulties we have. And I would say that this prosperity gospel is a heresy. And in fact, all the major strands of Christianity would say it's a heresy. We can't say that just because we are believing in God, we're following God's way, that everything's going to be right for us, everything's going to be perfect, that we're going to be wealthy and healthy, and it's going to be a great life for us. So just to sort of knock that on the head, let's go to some texts of what we are told. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So in all things, God wants us to be good followers of him. He wants us to love him. He wants us to understand our calling. And ultimately, he has the good of us in his heart. He wants us to have a good relationship with God. But still, we all have ups and downs. We all know we have ups and downs. Now, some might say, oh, well, it's because we have these difficulties in life because we have our faith has been tested and we've perhaps failed. But is that really true? Or do we think that the difficulties have been sent by God? There's a whole load of things we could unpack here, which are difficult in many ways. This text in Romans, Paul writing to the Romans, goes on to talk about predestination. I don't want to go into the subject of predestination in a big way. Theologically, it's quite a big subject. It talks about how certain people are perhaps called or are recognized by God, and they'll have a perfect life or a call to redemption, and other people won't. But a big subject, don't want to go that way at the moment. You can think about it in your own time if you like. But just this idea of things being planned by God, predetermined. We have to think, people talk about fate sometimes. Do we believe in fate in the sense that there's some inescapable fate that regardless of what we do, things will happen? All sorts of questions we may ask when we have these ups and downs. And I suppose when we have the downs particularly, we say, you know, is it because of a greater plan? Real questions that challenge our faith. But we also have to say, where's free will? So when we're thinking about why things happen, you might not agree with this matrix here, I accept that. It's really just an argument, if you like. It's a suggestion of the way we can think about things. You may be in the category who think, well, things only happen because it's part of God's plan. You may say there's no need for those other columns. Everything's because of God's plan. You may say, well, actually, some things are caused by human influence. That because we are sinful, because we are imperfect, because we choose to do things out of selfish motives, some things happen because of us or humanity. Or you might be saying, well, some things happen because of the natural order of the world. We can still say God's in that, that God made the world, he created the world in this particular way. The world has its natural cycles. Things happen in the world. So let's just look at some things which, well, starting off with something quite topical. Think of climate change. I'm not saying what the right answer is here. This is for you to work out yourselves. But you could say climate change is God's plan. He had some reason to say that this extreme heat, this drought, is something that God planned for the world. I'm not saying any more than that. You could say it's human influence. That because of what we've done, of what mankind has done to the world, that climate change has come. Or you could say, nothing to do with us, nothing to do with God. Well, no, I wouldn't say nothing to do with God. It's the natural order of things. God set up the world in this way, that there will at times be cycles of different climate, different temperatures, different whatever. So you get the sense of what I'm saying here. Where you are in your belief in God may influence, may affect where you think how these questions could be answered. I'm just trying to say that there are different ways of looking at things. And you could look at other things, natural disasters. Does God plan to have an earthquake, a volcano, or is it a natural order, unlikely to be human influence? I'm not going to go through all of these in detail. It's too difficult. But just accidents. This is the one I would sort of focus on. Many of you know I cycle quite a lot. If I don't look after my bike and make sure the brakes are working, but still choose to rush down a hill at 40 miles an hour and can't get around the corner quick enough and come off, is that God's plan or is that my own stupidity? Now again, you could say God planned that I should be stupid. You know, God planned that you should be stupid, that the things that go wrong in your life is because God wanted you to be, you know, I'm overusing the word stupid, but you know, there is a human influence. It's very difficult, is what I'm saying, to try and analyze everything in life in terms of, is this part of God's plan? Is it my own doing? Or is it just something that is naturally going to happen? I get onto bigger subjects of wars and violence and abuse. To me, and this is what I will express a view, I think it's quite insulting to say to someone who's been abused or affected by violence, to say, oh, God planned that for you. It's too hurtful for me to say that sort of thing. So I have to believe in some element of free will, that someone else has caused it through their own will, through their own attitude to life. So just saying that ups and downs have different causes, without actually putting any crosses or ticks in this matrix. So free will, is there inescapable fate that whatever we do, we can't change it, or do we have some free will? And the important thing is, as we talked about Joseph earlier, that do we recognize that God is with us? Regardless of how these things happen, how we have different ups and downs, do we recognize that God is with us? And can we honor God and be truthful to him? And again, like Joseph, where he is a good, honorable, trustworthy person, despite what happens in our lives, can we still be honorable, trustworthy, good Christians, good ambassadors for God, that we still believe that God is with us despite the ups and downs? Consider it pure joy. Again, this is James now, epistle. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And we know this to some extent. It's difficult at times to always find our way through in terms of what our faith, what we believe in terms of how we're being tested. But we know that when our faith is tested and we come through the other side, our faith has grown, because we've realized that God has been holding our hand, that God has been guiding us, that God has been with us regardless of the difficulties. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. The crown of life, that being that promise of everlasting life, that promise that one day we'll see God face to face, regardless of the difficulties we go through, regardless of the highs and the lows, we can know that God is with us. And if we're struggling to realize that God's with us now, we can hold on to the idea that God will be with us and we'll see God face to face. We'll understand what it really means to be children of God, that God has been with us in our difficulties. And now Paul writing to the Corinthians. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Again, acknowledging that there are difficulties in life, acknowledging that we will be at times perplexed, persecuted, struck down. We will have times when we wonder where our life is leading. We will have times when we despair. But knowing God is with us, that God can help us through those difficulties, we are not crushed, we're not abandoned, we're not destroyed. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And so these things which trouble us in our ups and downs, they're the things that are seen. They're the things that we see on a day-to-day basis. We sometimes have to think on a different level. Think beyond the things that are visible here in this life. Think of what is eternal. Think of our relationship with God and what is to come in our future relationship after this life. And none of this is new. This is obviously New Testament I'm talking here, but Old Testament, we thought about Joseph. We thought about how he was recognized as being with God regardless, or blessed by God regardless of his difficulties. But also in the psalmist. I love this psalm in the sense of, why, my soul, are you downcast? How many times do we say to ourselves, why do I feel like this? Why do I feel downcast? Why so disturbed within me, disturbed by what's going on, not just our lives, but in the world as a whole? We can only put our hope in God. For I will yet praise him. And that's the line I like. Despite these things, can we still praise God? Can we still praise God that ultimately things will work out for us? That regardless of how we're going through life at the moment, God is with us and holding our hand. That we can yet praise God for our understanding of his love for us. And for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And so I hope that we could all have that in our hearts and minds as we go through our ups and downs of life, whether we are enjoying the thrill of life trepidation is causing us worry, we can hopefully put our hope in God. God is with us. God will care for us. God loves us as his children. And we can praise him despite all of that. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.